Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've been talking a lot today about the fawning press, and they really are. They're making fools of themselves. They're tripping over themselves, trying to tell us how wonderful Joe Biden is. It's really, it's a sight to behold. Because, you see Joe Biden. When he's not calling you a stupid bastard, he's calling you dull. He's not exactly charismatic. He's not a great public speaker. But the press is just, they cannot stop kissing his rear end. They're obsessed. And I'm starting to think the internal polling must be very bad, because even by the New York Times standards, the puff pieces that are coming out lately are stunning. And one caught my eye yesterday, and it was titled, "In Biden's White House, Staff Members Are Not Celebrities." And I want to read you a few lines from this. "The phenomenon was pronounced during the presidency of Donald J. Trump." I'm impressed they actually were able to write his name and not do the acronym. The former guy, TFG. "His advisor, Kellyanne Conway, was so well known that she needed her own security detail. The White House press secretary, Sean Spicer, was a recurring character on Saturday Night Live." And then it goes on a little bit further, and it eventually says, and this was the line that really caught my eye, it's from Mr. Bagala. He says, "There's a blue-collar sensibility with Biden and his team. You carry your pail to work. You punch the clock. You just show up every day and do your job." It's gross how much they want to convince us that this is like the most coherent, cohesive administration in history. And when I saw Sean Spicer's name, I thought, I know Sean Spicer. I'm going to ask him about this. Sean Spicer, thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
It's always great to be on your show, and almost greater when you come on mine.
Oh, so, you know I love being on Spicer and Company. Now, Sean, what do you think of that? They're basically saying that Donald Trump's administration was full of celebrities, but in Biden's administration, these people really like to work.
Well, first of all, we did our fair share of work, and so did President Trump. But I think there's a difference. First of all, when you look at the press secretary right now, Jen has 14 reporters in there. They do their press briefings. They're rather boring. It's a drama-free presidency. And, you know, so it's not a question of what they want. It's a question of what they're getting. And I think that you mentioned this before. It's also a function of the fact that, like, we had an adversarial press corps that was looking to mock us, to find, you know, any kind of dissension and promote palace intrigue stories. In this White House, think about this. You touched on this just a moment ago, Grace. The President of the United States yesterday was driving himself in this little Ford expose that they were doing as a stunt, and he jokes about running over a reporter and not taking their questions. And I thought to myself, number one, if that had been Donald Trump, they would have gone nuts that he made a joke like that. Number two, Trump would have taken the questions. He actually engaged with the media. These guys are like, oh, I'm sorry we bothered you, Mr. President, with those silly questions that we're supposed to ask.
No, exactly. They laugh. They go along with it. They just chuckle and pretend this is all normal. And there's another story, Sean, I really wanted to get your take on. And I didn't know this was a thing. But, you know, I've never worked in a White House administration. And so you would be more knowledgeable about this. But it says, why reporters should have been prepared for Biden's team to edit quotes. Now, I guess this is something that administrations do. It's a use of a tool that many experts say limits government transparency, where they make reporters give them, quote, approval, and they go over things, and if they approve it, it can be printed. Now, in this piece, it says that the Trump administration used this sparingly, and the Biden administration uses it almost all the time. Talk about a lack of transparency. They have to get the final say on what gets printed.
So, look, just so people understand this, there are times when a reporter calls you and says, hey, you know, you as a particular government official or expert have insight into a subject. I'd like to talk to you about it. And you'll say, okay, well, I'm not authorized to discuss this with the press. And they'll say, can we use this on background? Meaning, can they use it without attributing it to your name? And what happens is from time to time, and it was true, it was very sparingly during the Trump White House, you'd say, okay, but you got to come back to me with the quote, because if you said, you know, a 5'6" blonde guy in the press office said that, if that was, you know, on background, you'd know who it was. And so sometimes you say, look, I want to know what this says before you do it. I've never been able to edit it for the most part. And I found that story a little shocking, how often they're apparently being let to do this. But again, what is more shocking is the lack of pushback. From time to time, a reporter will allow you some leeway because they really need you for a story. But that should be the exception, not the norm. And it appears in this White House that the media is willing to do things that they would never have tolerated in the past because they are so in love with this Biden administration.
Yeah, and I think that it's also interesting because when you look at the media, like you said, there's zero pushback, but it seems like the most pushback the Biden administration is getting is from the very far left radical wing of his party. And I wanted to get your take on that, especially regarding Israel-Palestine. We saw yesterday Biden was getting talked to with Rashida Tlaib. He called her Rashid Tlaib. But do you think they're happy with how this is going? They've seemed to be getting a lot out of this administration, but yet I keep hearing about them wanting more, Sean.
Who, Israel?
No, I'm saying the radical left, Rashida Tlaib, AOC.
Yeah, first of all, let's start with this. If anyone on the right had butchered her name the way that he did, or that he does, rather, because it's an ongoing thing, there would be talk of xenophobia and racism and every other phobia and ism. But because it's Biden, they're like, Uncle Joe, another gap. So that's number one. Number two, what's going on in this country? We used to cherish the idea that Israel, our ally, was the only democracy in the Middle East and that we wanted to promote them and encourage them and recognize them. Now we're sitting here arguing whether or not a terrorist group, Hamas, is doing things that are acceptable and whether they have a right to do it. Are you kidding me? This is insane that the Democratic Party is now justifying a terrorist organization using human beings and children in particular as human shields, and no one thinks that this is a problem. And we read some headlines yesterday on the show. The Washington Post, NBC News, other outlets, including the New York Times, have suddenly kind of taken the tact as well, where they're kind of justifying Hamas's actions and sort of questioning whether Israel has stepped over the line. Let's be clear. Israel does everything that it possibly can to limit and minimize any type of casualties, whereas Hamas is intentionally using its own people as human shields and props in their war.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's an important difference to make. I heard someone say the other day, if Israel laid down her weapons, there would be no Israel, but if other people laid down theirs, there would be peace, and I thought that's a really good way to think of it. Sean is the host of Spicer & Company, and one thing you guys talk about a lot, because I watch your program all the time, is you talk about the future of the GOP. Obviously, we have 2022 coming up. We're hopefully going to have a red wave, but what is your take, Sean, on 2024? Do you think Trump's going to go for it? You know Trump very well. Is he going to go for another term in 2024?
You know, it's so funny. I could literally sit here and go for a half an hour on either side of this and say why he won't do it and why he will. I think on why he won't, I think he sits right now and says what an awesome life he has. He goes between Bedminster and Mar-a-Lago, plays golf during the day. I saw him a couple weeks ago. He looks fantastic. And I think being a former president is a great life, but being a kingmaker, which he's become right now, is probably even a better life. That being said, I think he's got a desire to serve. He loves doing it, and he loves getting things done. If I had to flip a coin right now, I'd say he leans like he's going to run again.
See, I was thinking the same thing, and for a long time I thought he's definitely going to run again, but, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but I see pictures coming out from Mar-a-Lago, and he's with Melania, and she seems very happy, and he has all these grandkids, and it does seem like he's a rational guy, so he might say to himself, this is a really good gig, this is, you know, I put up with hell for 4 years, this is really nice, but then at the same time, I wonder if something in the back of his head says, I need to beat them one more time.
You on the same wavelength, because 6 months ago, because we're not even 6 months out, probably 3 months ago, I would have said, I don't think he's going to do this. He left the intensity and the scrutiny of that. He's gotten to become this sort of political king in the Republican Party. I think he's enjoying life, getting up, you golf, you get on the phone, you talk to different candidates, figure out how you're going to, create an America First candidate field in the 2022 midterms. So I thought to myself, who would want to give that up? And then I thought the only person who would want to give that up is Donald Trump, because he, A, wants to beat them again, and two, I think he realizes the contrast of what he was able to get done in 4 years and what has been undone and done, taking us in the wrong direction in only 100 days.
Absolutely. And Sean, I do think there's another element of, now that he's become like this Voldemort figure with the left, they can't say his name. He's still taking up so much space in their heads. He's just living rent free. I think it does add to this allure of like, who is this guy who drives these people so insane, even when he's on a golf course? I mean, people are talking about leaving their masks on, for eternity, just so they can prove they don't like Donald Trump. That's a lot of power to have over a group of people.
It's funny, because you think about this, Grace. He's off all of the social media platforms, and yet he still dominates them.
Yeah.
If you watch the clips from late night that come, I see them on Instagram. It's not like I stay up and watch them. It's amazing. It's like he's still in office. They wake up every day, Donald Trump did this today, Donald Trump said this, and it's like, you do know, guys, it's over. Like, Biden's president, you can talk about the gas lines, the gas prices, the food prices, the Israel. I mean, it's almost like they can't get over the fact that he's gone, and they don't want to acknowledge that they were wrong about, A, what he was able to accomplish, and B, the direction that President Biden is taking the country.
Sean, thank you so much for joining the show. I agree with everything you just said, and so well said, that he is off every platform and he still does completely dominate the news cycle. You can follow Sean on Twitter at Sean Spicer. You can watch his show, Spicer and Company, on Newsmax. It's great. I particularly like when he has Grace Curley on the show. Just throwing that out there in case I can get another gig on there. But Sean, thank you very much for joining us.
As always, love it. Thanks. Congrats on the new show.
All right, guys, allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. No one loves the air purifier more than Jared Diglio. Jared, I've noticed you've had a little bit of joy in your step lately, and you've been breathing a little bit more clear.
Yes, it has been an absolute lifesaver during this, which has to be the worst pollen season I can remember in my lifetime.
So I never really have issues with this, but the mailer manager does. And she came in yesterday and she said, I think something's up. I think this is one of the worst pollens ever, because she came back from Florida and now she's like, I don't know if I can handle this. So I said, you got to turn the thunderstorm on in your office, because it really does make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's clean air that you're breathing, because when the thunderstorm works, you just plug it in, you turn the knob to your desired setting, and that's it. You don't have to clean filters. You don't have to replace filters. You don't have to do any large moving of equipment. You don't have extension cords, nothing. You just plug it into the wall, you turn it on, and really within 15 minutes, it starts ionizing the air around you, creating super oxygen so that you are breathing clean air. It gets rid of the pollen. It gets rid of other allergens and pollutants and some viruses and anything nasty in the air, and you are breathing clean, beautiful air.
And any bad smells, if you cook a lot, if there's a damp smell in your house, this is the product for you. It's small, but oh my gosh, it is so powerful. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. When we get back, we'll take some more of your calls. And there's a really, really funny thing that happened. I love when this happens. Randy, am I getting her name right? Randy Weingarten. I just wrote a story on her too. Weingarten went on C-SPAN. and they took calls. And that was a big, big, big mistake. And we have the sound that you're going to want to hear. 844-500-4242. I'm Grace, and this is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Wearing a tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Now, I read you guys a little earlier a piece from The Atlantic about Kamala Harris, and I missed a part that I think is important. The vice president and her team tend to dismiss reporters. I told you guys that she, you know, there's some that she doesn't like. People are calling it an enemies list. But this is really the key. This is the part where you know things are not good for Biden-Harris / Doug Douglas administration. At times, she comes off as so uninteresting that television producers have started to wonder whether spending thousands of dollars to send people on trips with her is worthwhile, given how little usable material they get out of it. Now I'm reading from Paroline. They say, but this is perhaps the most revealing tidbit in the whole article, though it may not be evident to the casual reader. Harris has been elected, an elected official for 18 years straight, but she has only a few senior aides on staff who have worked for her for more than a few months. Turf battles have been a recurring feature of Harris' offices over the years, but her newest circle believes it is finally getting her on track after years of past staffers not serving her well. Some have been surprised at how much work there is to be done, whether that's briefing her on certain policy issues or helping her improve her sparring with journalists' skills. In other words, I think what they're trying to tell us is she's either a bad boss or that she's just really, really hard to coach. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of heavy lifting for the aides. And now keep in mind, I didn't think there was any job harder than keeping Joe Biden on track. You send that guy out there, and the first thing he wants to do is start talking numbers. Or start making jokes, start talking about 7-Eleven in accents. But apparently, according to this article, it's harder to help Kamala Harris than it is to help Joe Biden. Now, it is time for the poll question, which is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their Drain the Swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. It's spelled C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Don't support, you know, these big liberal coffee companies. Support people who don't hate you. Buy some Covfefe Coffee at doyoucovfefe.com. Now, speaking of TV producers wondering if things are worth their money and usable material. Jared, what's the poll question?
Which of these going off the air would make you the happiest? Brian Stelter, Jimmy Kimmel, the NBA, or the Oscars?
Now, I didn't add Dr. Fauci in there because technically he does not have his own program. He just goes on every single program every single day. With that being said, you know what, Jared? I do this almost every day now. I'm having a second thought. I'm going to go Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel tied with Brian Stelter at 25%. In the lead at 31% is the NBA. 19% say the Oscars.
Yeah, it's really hard because Kimmel is, you know, one of the most sanctimonious. He doesn't even try to be funny anymore. It's complete politics all the time. But Stelter, I mean, he hosts a show called Reliable Sources. Come on. What else do we have to tell you? It's interesting, though, because these late-night comedy shows, they hate Greg Gutfeld, and they were making fun of his show when it first came out. Like, it's not funny. It's this and that. And Greg Gutfeld seems to be doing just fine in the ratings. He's taking on the head honchos. He's taking on Stephen Colbert. Which is crazy because Stephen Colbert is known for comedic gems, like that time he cried over the election while wearing all black, or that time that he licked the spatula, which I know based off your face, Jared, that you're going to play.
No, I'm not going to play it.
All right, I got nervous. You had this look on your face like you were going to play.
I thought about it.
Yeah, but. No, we can't put people through that. When we get back, we have producer's picks. This day has just flown by, and then we have the car crossover later on, but we still have some sound to get through before it all ends. And a Fauci update. He's talking vaccines, and you know what's next, the booster shots. We'll hit it all on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Number one, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in every single day. I still, Jared, I know I sound like a broken record. I can't believe we get to do this. I can't believe we get to play Joe Biden yelling at people for not laughing during his speech. And we could put it on our LinkedIn. That's our job. We're very blessed here at the Howie Carr Radio Network. But the second thing I wanted to mention before we get to producer's picks is that Texas has banned schools and governments from requiring people to mask up. And I know this is going to be a not popular opinion. I don't want to say controversial. I want to flatter myself. But I don't think I'm going to be in the popular opinion here when I say, I don't really like that either. I kind of feel as though I'm turning into a libertarian. It's a bold statement to make, but if people want to wear, I kind of like knowing who's insane. You know, I kind of like walking into a store and going, okay, so you believe you're still going with this. All right, cool. You know, it lets you know it's people just being open. It's like it's like wearing a dunce cap or something, you know, like, okay, you're still going with this. I mean, with the exception of people who have comorbidities or fears or whatever. But I'm just saying, I don't mind seeing that there are people who are still wearing them. And then slowly over time, they will figure out that they can take it off. I don't like bans either way. Do you know what I'm saying? Just let life happen. Enough with the bans and the mandates and the requirements and the just let people do what they're going to do. There will be people who try to keep this going forever. That's okay. Let Joy Reid run with two masks on. I don't care. I'll not have a mask on. And then she'll get jealous of me sucking in all this H2O. I'm sorry, not H2O. Oxygen. John Kerry had me all confused. Which one's he getting rid of?
He's getting rid of CO2.
CO2, thank you. So make sure you enjoy that, guys, while it lasts, because John Kerry's on the hunt. But yeah, people will get jealous of other people who get to take their masks off. And naturally, they will either take theirs off and come to the conclusion on their own, or they will die on this hill. Not literally, but they will wear these masks forever. We got to let people do what they're going to do. I'm starting to feel as though people like Tucker Carlson and, you know, if you really believe in freedom, you got to believe in it no matter what. And the fact is that people do have a right to wear what they want to wear. If that's a mask, that's a mask. I don't think they should be able to require it for kids. I kind of get the school part of it. But if a kid wants to wear a mask, hey, that's their choice, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I just threw this on people late in the show. I hope people are not like, I need to call in and give her a piece of my mind. That's just my take. All right, now, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
Producer's Picks is where my producer, Jared Diglio, tells us all the stories. Yesterday, he read, what was it, 10 or 11 obituaries? How many did he get in yesterday?
I think it was only 3, if you don't count the 57 people from Mount St. Helens.
So now, Jared, I did not look over your stories. I'm trusting you. I don't want to be like the nanny state big brother, but hopefully it's a little bit more positive than yesterday's. And hopefully, I'm going to go one step further, it's a little bit more positive than Joe Biden's commencement speech.
Well, it's yes and no, because we're going to start off with Joe Biden's morning right before his commencement speech where he insulted the next generation of Coast Guard.
Okay.
So this morning, this is from the White House. It's an official release. President Trump I wish. President Biden had a call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and on the conversation, according to the White House press release, the president conveyed to the prime minister that he expected a significant de-escalation today on the path to a ceasefire.
But my question is, why is it up to Israel only acts really in defense of herself? So
right.
Why is it up to Israel to de-escalate? If Israel de-escalates what they're doing to protect themselves, there will be no Israel anymore.
Yes. And within 10 minutes of this press release, Lebanon started firing rockets into northern Israel. So now they're getting whacked from Hamas in Palestine and from Lebanon up north.
And it's so sad because the media is just really throwing out all sorts of misinformation. Celebrities are doing it as well. And they're not telling you about all of the rockets that are being fired into Israel. Instead, they're only telling you when Israel defends herself. That becomes the story. And because of that, it's awful what you're seeing, these infographics, which are completely untrue. And anti-Semitism, again, is on the rise. I mean, in an incredible way, a way that I never thought we'd see. And the media is just doing a complete disservice to Israel. And so is the Biden administration by not being stronger about this and not making it very clear. Getting on the phone with Bibi and saying, please de-escalate this, not very helpful.
Yes. Once a leftist Nazi organization, always a leftist Nazi organization.
Very true.
You actually mentioned or alluded to this earlier. Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, was on C-SPAN, and they did a little call-in segment. And so this was good because parents got to speak directly to the head of the teachers union, and I think it might sound a little something like this.
Ms. Weingarten, I'd like to ask you why you think a pandemic is a reason to reimagine our education. And basics would be nice. The public schools have failed these children before on the education basis, let alone all this social re-education.
Boom. But it kept going.
Oh. Karen, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I'm from Syracuse, New York, and as of the last few years, we've had under a 40% graduation rate.
The part that I don't understand is how come the parochial schools and the private schools could navigate their way through this scenario, but the public schools didn't seem to be able to manage that.
These kids these days, they can go to college, get some degree, you know, and then it's not worth anything. You know, they can't get a job. So if we really focus on a trade, that'll be a good way to path through the future. Because right now, I mean, come on, let's be honest. A lot of these public school systems, you can't get any worse. So I invite change.
Can't get any worse. What do you have to lose?
Can't get any worse.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe she thought it was a good idea to stay on there while they took those calls.
Yeah, and there's still more. There was
and those are people being nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really just opened up the calls to anyone, I'm sure, Jared, we both screen calls in our time.
Whoa.
I'm sure they had a lot of people where they were like, yep, we'll write that down, but you're not going on the air.
Yeah. That happens a lot. All right, well, Comrade Bernie Sanders calls for a strike against McDonald's and wants 6 weeks of paid vacation and pensions for McDonald's workers.
I saw this today. I didn't click on the story, but I saw someone saying, don't cross the picket line. And Jared, I know I'm going to sound super naive here, but that means when people are striking, you don't go in and buy anything. So you wouldn't go to, you know,
right.
you don't want to go into McDonald's when people are striking outside because you're crossing the picket line.
Yes. Bernie tweeted out, in Denmark, the average worker in a McDonald's makes $22 an hour, receives 6 weeks of paid vacation, 1 year of paid family leave, life insurance, and a pension. Yes, if McDonald's and workers in Denmark can have decent standard of living, we can do it in the U.S.
I hate these comparisons.
To countries that have like 8,000 people? Yes.
I really do. I hate them. It's like, you know what? If you like other places so much, go ahead. Go there. Go there, Bernie. I just, this whole idea that we're supposed to do what other countries are doing. Like you said, Jared, they're so much smaller than us. There's a million other factors, but it's a good slogan for them. It's a good thing to run with. And for low info voters, they go, yeah, America sucks. We should be more like that. Make it $50 an hour at McDonald's. It's not that kind of job. You know, it's a job that people get when they're either young and out of in school as a side job, or it's, you know, a stepping stone. It's not meant to be $22 an hour.
And there's a couple of things here that I'm curious about. What is McDonald's famous for?
The burger?
Burgers. I thought burgers were evil. I thought that we have to get rid of burgers. So are there even going to be McDonald's that make it to the end of the world in 7 years or whatever? Is this really...
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm not an expert on strikes, but I am an expert on McDonald's. And they do have a vegetarian option now. It's called the McPlant. And it's like the Impossible Whopper from Burger King.
Ah.
So maybe Bernie's plan is to up the prices and then kill the business with the McPlant, and then McDonald's will go out of business.
Ah, okay. So now I get it. So now they're going to make you pay extra to get the plant protein that the government wants to feed you. Ah, now it all makes sense.
Bill Gates is just sitting, listening to this, nodding. Yes, yes. This is all part of my plan.
And I am never going to take away anybody's ability to make a living. I'm not that type of person. But if you're making $22 an hour and I say no mayonnaise on my burger, for the love of God, there better not be mayonnaise on my burger if you are getting paid $22 an hour.
Are you one of those people who goes to McDonald's and has like a million little things
nope,
that you don't
just,
want?
It's just the mayonnaise and the sauce. That's it. I just want plain burgers. That's all.
Cheese?
Well, yeah, cheese, but yeah, like no condiments on the burgers.
When we were younger, my older brother never wanted cheese. He just wanted hamburgers, just a hamburger, plain hamburger with ketchup. And yeah, we had to turn around a lot. You know, you check it in the car and then you do the turnaround.
Yes.
I'm simple. I like it exactly the way it comes because I'm a real American, Jared.
You fight for the rights of every man. All right. It's not... I was going to do this as a royal update, but it's technically not a royal update.
Oh, is it Harry?
It is a happy anniversary. 3 years ago today, Harry and Meghan tied the knot.
I'm not a fan of hers. And I would say this, and she probably has heard that, but I wish a lot of luck to Harry. He's going to need it.
Yeah, and that's become abundantly clear as time has gone on. It's funny, when I look back at the evolution of how I feel about Harry and Meghan, I really have come full circle half circle. Because at one point I was really rooting for them and now I'm kind of just like so sick of them and hearing about them constantly. But maybe someday I'll complete the circle and I'll be a fan of them again. All right, guys, when we get back, we are talking to Howard Lawrence Carr, so don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
So a quick update on today. Joe Biden gave a commencement speech. It was strange. It hit a lot of issues that most people don't tackle during a commencement speech. He yelled at the audience when they didn't laugh. And then to top it off, if you thought he was the first person in 1,000 generations to come up with the joke, it turns out he lifted it from Dick Cheney. Howie Carr, thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts?
What are your complaints, Grace? You got the cuts first today for the first time in weeks.
I know. And you know what, Howie? It really did make it an extra special show. I loved having the cuts. It's weird to me how he's very coddled by our press. And it's on a new level where he doesn't just expect, you know, respect and them being easy on him. He expects a full-blown laugh track wherever he goes.
I know. You know, the thing is, we got VIPs in here 3 days a week now. They just came in. They do a good job, you know, chuckling at my jokes. But you know what? I'm gonna be like Joe Biden. I'm gonna just have a laugh track behind me. He doesn't need a recorded laugh track. He has the White House press corps that they swoon. Sometimes you hear a when one of them falls over from, you know, getting the vapors from being so close to a man of his greatness.
Well, the craziest part is, and we can play this, is yesterday when Joe Biden threatened or joked to run someone over with his car, with the car he was driving, the woman who asked him the question that prompted him to say, not unless I run you over, then immediately goes into, let's see what he can do. Like, she was immediately back to fangirl right after he said, I'm going to run you over. Let's play the full cut.
Okay, I'm just going to step on it. I'll come off at 80 miles an hour. You'll see what it is, okay? You ready?
Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel before you drive away?
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm on a teaser. Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
Let's see it, sir. That's her.
That's ABC News. Do you think they would be that kind to Donald Trump if he had said that to one of their female reporters?
I don't know. You know, when I think of ABC and Donald Trump, I think of Brian Ross.
Oh, yes. Yes. He tanked the stock market, cost billions of dollars. He was a buffoon. And how about Steffi Stephanopoulos?
Right.
And Martha Raddatz crying on election night, 2016.
Did you miss the memo from Dr. Rochelle Walensky? It's Marsha Raddatz, sir.
That's Marsha. Excuse me.
Marsha to you.
I used to know Marsha way back. I used to know her when her name was Marsha Bradley.
But Howie, I don't think you need to get a laugh track. I think you just need to yell at your audience when they don't give you enough energy and just say, you know, come on, you dull, stupid bastards, laugh for me.
Or I could just start stealing jokes.
Yeah, that's always a good idea. All right, Howie, so
that's what I have the text line for, is to steal jokes.
That's where you lift them from.
The text line, people are saying, that's not funny, Howie.
There's an article, Howie, today that I'm going to give you after this, but it's called The Pandemic is Over. And it says, in the United States, the emergency is over. The epidemic in America is like a poisoned rat, limping, staggering, crawling, and gasping its last breaths.
Have you ever dealt with rats?
No.
Grace, we used to have rats in the basement of the colony, and we would feed them poison. And what it does is it eats the poison and gets very thirsty. Do you know this is how rat poison works? So they drink water. They have this insatiable need for water, and when they drink the water, the poison expands from the water and just blows them up.
Really?
Yeah, so you just find these bloated little rat carcasses. And, you know, and now that I think about it, when I used to have to pick them, some of them were wearing masks.
Oh, no. They were Karens.
See, that's what I like. See, that's what I like.
The
VIPs like that line.
It says the poison is the vaccine now jabbed into the arms of most adults. Pandemic, thou art slain. But it does seem, Howie, like there's this resistance from people to it up.
The mailroom manager told you she was just out at this little clothing store in Wellesley, and she asked somebody she knew, she said, you're not going to have to wear a mask after the 29th, are you? And she said, oh, I hope not. This was the woman in the store who's been wearing a mask for months. And there was this fat woman, you know, behind them, and she started screaming, you can't take your mask off until May 28th. I mean, talk about a dead end there. These are like the Wehrmacht people who, you know, in like the summer of 1945, they were stringing wire across the highways in Germany trying to take out the Allied troops. The war was over. It's over, folks. Go back to the basement.
Well, guys, that was a little teaser for what's coming up on Howie's show. Don't go anywhere. He has a jam-packed show for you, and he has all of the Biden cuts. I'm sure he's going to make good use of them. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. I'm Grace, and this is The Grace Curley Show.